Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow down to pray. Before we pray, I would like to first. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. I talk under your cropping today, trusting that the same grace upon the fathers of the house will be upon me to help me to minister as an oracle of God. Let's bow down to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. As we go into your word, Father, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, Father. In the grace of our Lord Jesus and help of the Holy Spirit, as we go into your word, Lord, you anoint me afresh. Enable me to speak today as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, we go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an eternal work in our hearts and life, causing us to become more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened with revelation, knowledge, our emotions further controlled by the power of the Spirit. As our God goes forth, Father, go forth in power to heal bodies, to deliver the souls of men, to set us free, Lord, into liberty of the sons of God. I pray for mercy to redeem me time. Help me not to say things that are necessary. Let your kingdom come. Let your Holy Spirit come and have your way. Thank you for all you're doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be continuing our Bible study today from the book of Titus. The last time we were in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, we took time to talk about Paul the Apostle, who first of all described himself as a servant, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ before he called himself an apostle. Like I said earlier on, this epistle we are in now, the book of Paul to Titus, they are called the pastoral epistles. We have the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, and this is now the book of Titus in which we are in. And in our last lesson, we spent so much time explaining what it means to be a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can all become a bond servant. It's not something that is for a few set of people. But as Christians, we are all supposed to be bond servants of Christ. Let's read the first verse in the NIV as we do a brief recap. The book of Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. In NIV, it says, Paul, let's read after me. Paul, servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of that leads to godliness. That is, Paul here introduces himself to, in the letter he wrote to Titus, that is first a bond servant of Christ before he mentions that he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 12 and 6, what it means in the Old Testament to be a bond servant. But in summary, not to waste time this morning, a bond servant is one who has determined to obey and to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we quoted the scripture to buffet to explain from the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, that says, and above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And we said in the last lesson that though we have many apostles, there are very few bond servants. That is, you see, this is because a bond servant has to do with the character of God being formed in you. That is, somebody has already, of his own free will, determined to obey the master. But an apostle or is a gift, what we call the fivefold ministry gifts. That is, it is important for us as Christians or those that are in the fivefold ministry to first of all be bond servants of Christ. Yet, there are many apostles in the body of Christ today. Even though God called them, that is, it's a calling. But it's a ministry gift. But not bond. You find out that in the process of carrying out the ministry God has called them into, they begin to deviate from the purpose of which God has called them. Why? Because they are not bond servants. A bond servant is somebody that does not have his own will, does not have his own purpose. It's after fulfilling the purpose of his servant. I don't want to go back there in the Old Testament where it talks about when somebody becomes a bond servant. It's not just a servant. A bond after the year, when it's time for him to go, he now goes back to his master out of love and says, no, I'm going to stay with you forever. Then the master takes something like an awl and he puts him beside the door and pierces his ear that is for life is going to stay with that master. So what does this mean? What it means is this. This means that we are controlled of God. Let me read the way God gave me in the last message. Just a second. It speaks of the character of God. An apostle speaks of the ministry that God calls people into. And to best explain it, I'll use the scripture to explain it. It is somebody that the love of Christ begins to control. He only obeys what the master tells him to do. And in particular, with what Paul is saying here, God, Paul became a born servant of Christ because of one primary point. The ministry he has called him to, which we'll see as we continue. And I'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. It says that, for the love of us, because we don't, that if one died for all, then we are all. Eve should not answer themselves, but unto him which died rose again. So we can see here that a born servant, like Paul was trying to say, is no longer somebody that lives for his own self. He's not living to please himself, but the master who has called and speaks of the perfection of love of God to daily self-denial in order to perfect obedience to God. See, you can become a born servant. It's not something that happens in one day. It's a process in which the sin nature which causes us to disobey God is totally removed from our soul and body and then filled with the life of God. Then only then obey Lord whatever it tells you to do. Today we'll be going to part B of verse 1 in which Paul began to define his assignment. Paul began to define his assignment. He says to follow and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. You see, every truth in the Bible sums up in us being like God. God-likeness. Anything that we do or any kind of doctrine that we are taught that does not mean like God is half the truth. Every doctrine that God is doing in this hour or has purpose to do for the body of Christ is for us to be more like Him. And what does it mean to be more like God? It means to be more like God in character. Say in character, in ability, and in power. That is why Paul said in Hebrews, St. Paul, say, therefore, living the You see, because many Christians, when they get born again, we are taught, and it's not wrong. It's just that it's not the full truth. It's not the full counsel of God that we get born again, so that when we die, we don't die and go to heaven. That is true. And then some go a step further, and which is not wrong. It's also right that we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We learn to prosper. We walk in the Spirit so God can meet our needs, and we walk in divine healing and health. All those things are good. But you see, the main purpose why Christ came for to die is not just get born again and die and go to heaven. It's for us to daily, as we use the blood, the word, and the Spirit, to grow more like God in character, in wisdom, in ability, and then also in power. That is what He died for. The Bible says that He might bring many sons unto glory. Teachers behind this thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Talks about the end of our faith. The end of our faith is the end of our purpose in Christianity. But it says that Peter says, receiving the end of our faith, even what the salvation of our souls. You see, if you get born again as a Christian and you don't attain unto this end, then one that, like Paul said, he said, of all men most miserable. That is, God has just died for us to get born again, or to be healed, or to walk in divine prosperity. That's why the Bible says, just can say something. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the old world and lose his soul? You see, it is that soul, the redemption of the soul, the perfecting of love God, the soul, and the redemption of the physical body that God is after. Let me explain. You see, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, when God created man, made man in his own image and also in his own likeness, and he breathed into Adam the breath of life. The Bible says Adam became a living soul. If you saw Adam then, he had the life of God in his spirit, he had the life of God in his soul, he had the life of God in his physical body. But something happened when they fell. You know the story. Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Now, what God does is when we get born again, He injects the life of God back into our spirits. And when we have that life into our spirits, it's not the end of the story. It is just the beginning. And this is the mistake that many ministers in the body of Christ make. Either because they omit it or they don't even understand. Praise the Lord. We see, but the purpose of our Christianity is for that life of God in our spirits to move from our spirit into our souls, to move from our souls to our physical bodies, so that we can be like Adam before he fell. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. The Apostle Paul says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? The firstborn amongst many brethren. That is amongst all the brethren, we should look like Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Not as God, but as a man. Praise the Lord. Today we'll be going to verses 2 to 8. Let's read. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verses 2 to 8. Are we there? It says, now Paul began to explain the purpose of his apostleship. As we all know, an apostle is a wise master builder. So he began to tell Titus the purpose of his apostleship. So he said, in hope, let's together, in hope of what? Eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Next verse. But at in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Next verse. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. You see, Titus was his spiritual son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Next verse. For this cause, say it together. For this cause, let I thee in what? Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed it. That is, Paul was telling Titus, that is the reason why I left you in Crete, was for you to ordain elders in Crete. That means there were many churches in Crete. Are you following me? Next verse. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Praise the Lord. Next verse. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. That is not covetous. Next verse. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. I wish we'll get there today. Because you see, he began to describe the qualifications of selecting an elder. You see, at least what I want to say is, by the time Paul left Titus in Crete, Titus has gone so much for Paul to commit the selection of elders over, not just one church, over the churches in Crete unto him. After spending time with Paul. You see, you cannot commit such a responsibility to a spiritual baby. Because you can see the same thing when he was talking to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. When it says, if a man desires the post of a bishop, he desires a good thing. When I began to list the criteria, it must be this, it must be that, it must be this. You see, like I said some time ago, that criteria is not only for those that desire to be bishop or those that call the fivefold ministry. That should be normal Christian living. I mean, there is no Christian that's supposed to be husband of two wives. Are you following me? Christians are supposed to keep their house in order. Are you following me? You know, because these same things, it's just that when it now comes to ordaining elders in the church, it now becomes things that are critical. That's why Paul told Timothy, he said, lay hands suddenly on no man. Why? That is, don't just ordain anybody. Why? Because the sheep reproduce after his kind. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to verses 2 and 3. And let's see how God will help us today. He says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world begun, but that in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That is, this hope of eternal life we are talking about is not something that God decided to do when he created Adam. That's why the Bible talks about just Christ. He said it was a lamb that was slain from the foundations of God. Let's look at it in NLT. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. That is, before God made man, he had made up his mind. He had looked at whatever man could do. And they come into a meeting and agreed and said, okay, peradventure this plan to make my own image should fail. Should in case man should fail. Should in case the devil, God had taught everything to. So Christ had agreed that if anything should go wrong, I will die for them. Because for him to die for them is to give the life back. That's God had already made a redemptive plan even before he made. But that's why I said, like, if you read that scripture, like we are told, it was the conclusion of a meeting. Of a board meeting that took place then, and I said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. So what are the things that took place behind? One of the things which is most important thing was the redemption of man was planned even before man was made. Reverence about 13 verse 8. It said, the lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. That's how it says in NLT. King James says, lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. So this whole essence of being godly, it says that God has called him to further the faith of Christians unto godliness. That is, like I said, began to explain the purpose why God has called him. You see, if you go into ministry and you don't have this purpose, either as a pastor or a teacher in mind, you are likely going to veer, of course. And that is what we see today in the body of Christ. If you read the Ephesians, you normally quote Ephesians 4. It says that for the perfect, it says, and he gave some. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and prophets. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. You see, that is the main reason, the primary reason, and the major reason why God gave the fivefold ministry. Every other thing is just the icing on the cake. So anybody in ministry who teaches any doctrine and does not dovetail into Christians being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is wandering in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. But that is the purpose. So Paul told Titus, he said, for the hope of eternal life. So, and we've been taught over and over, what is eternal life? The pastor has taught us. It is the spiritual liquid inside God that makes what? God, God. It is called living water. It flows in God like blood flows in our physical bodies. It is that life that got you born again when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says that I am come that they might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. It is that life of God in sufficient measure that makes you a born again Christian. These things are fundamental. But I dare say that many Christians still don't understand this aspect of the life of God. Many believe that the life of God is to live forever, which is true. That is one of the consequences of having eternal life. But you see, even the devil is going to live forever, albeit in the lake of fire. Christians that are born again, the only difference is that those that are born again are going to live forever with God in heaven, and those that are born again are going to live with Satan forever. So everything that God has created is going to be forever. Are you all with me? So you see, eternal life is the spiritual liquid inside God that makes God God. And it flows inside God. So that is what got us born again. That is what God gave Adam. And when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, you see what happened was, the Bible says, and we have all sinned in Adam and have come short of the glory of God. That is, when Adam fell, what happened was this. The life of God was extinguished from his spirit. And it took about 1,000 years. The Bible says that God told him, said, in the day that you eat of this tree, of this fruit, you will surely die. Yes, but he lived, physically speaking, number 900 and something years. No, God was talking about spiritual death. So when Adam ate of that fruit, of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened? He died spiritually. He lost contact with God. Are you all with me? Even though he lived physically till about 900 and something years, it is that life that God came back to give to man through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So let's put some scriptures behind this. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. And Paul and John was saying, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. And he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. Folks, whoever does not have Lord Jesus Christ or does not believe in him as his Lord and Savior does not have eternal life. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. You see, Christianity is not a religion. It's not going to church, even though we have to go to church so we can grow. It is accepting Jesus as our Lord. That is, you accept that he came and died for your sins, went to hell for the punishment of your sins, and God raised him up on the third day for just going. At that moment, God gives eternal life back to your spirit man. Praise the Lord. Who you are joined back to Christ. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to have that. And this life, like Pastor has taught us over and over, is given in measures. You don't get born again and receive the fullness of the life of God like Adam had it in the beginning. No. It comes to you in measures. That's how the Bible says, book of Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 to 21. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be what? Satisfied. Say, increase of his lips. Increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. That means you have to receive it more and more and more. And Babylon says in the next verse, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat it with thereof. What have we seen? He said, I have come that they might have life, born again, and they might have it more abundantly. You see, this aspect of the life of God, I'm trusting God to help me. You see, this aspect of life of God is the most important thing, or one of the most important things you will need to understand in your Christianity. Because if you do not understand it, you'll be going up and down, up and down. Why? Because a life deficit will show up in a wrong character. The loss of the flesh will begin to manifest. But whereas if you have an abundance of a life of God in you, in your spirit, soul, and body, it's easy for you to manifest the character of God, as seen in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Praise the Lord. Like I said, it comes in measures. And God has done it deliberately. You see, in the Old Testament, he told them, the type of what I'm talking about is going to possess the promised land. He told them, he said, I'm not going to drive out the giants in one single day. He said, I'm going to do it little by little. He said, so that you'll be able to fully occupy. Same thing is happening in the Old Testament. He said, when God got us born again, he didn't remove the signature totally from our spirit, soul, and body. He only took it from our spirit. So that you, as you receive more life, you begin to grow more and more. And it's a process. That is, as life of God is coming into you, the sin nature is being driven out. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Very important scripture. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, say all things, that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might what be partakers of the divine nature, having what escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. It's very important for us to know that the only way you can escape the current corruption in the world is through receiving eternal life in greater and greater measures. And they do two basic things. You see, you need eternal life to carry out your spiritual work. You see, many Christians don't understand this. We endeavor to do things for God in our own flesh. And like he told the church in Ephesus, he said, you have left your first love. He said, repent and do the first works. You see, many Christians carry out, in the body of Christ now, they carry out God's assignments using their, so to speak, their own fuel. And as far as God is concerned, it's not accepted. So you need eternal life. It's very important for us to understand. That is, you need that life in greater and greater measures for you to carry out what God has called you to do. That's why Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He said, I labored more than they. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. That is, it is not grace, sha. The Bible talks about the grace of life. That grace, what it does is it brings eternal life. So it is that grace that you need. What that tells you is this, is that Paul understood the concept of eternal life more than the other apostles. That is why he could do more. So God did not say, okay, Paul, you do more because you are Paul. No. That means the others at that time did not fully understand, like the brother of Christ, they did not fully understand how to carry out the program of God to its fullness. But Paul understood it. So that means Paul was constant. That's why Paul said something. He said, whereby I give unto us, no, not Paul. He said that perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So whereby I give unto us exceeding, no. That's the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He said, having therefore what? These promises. Let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, doing what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that is how we carry out our spiritual work in the Lord. Whatever you are doing in the house of God, even your secular work, for you to excel to the level whereby people will look at you and say, surely God is in you. You need eternal life. You need insufficient measure. Say insufficient measure. Praise the Lord. The second reason is for our spiritual growth. Say for our spiritual growth. Very important. See, you can be a Christian for 50 years. If you don't have sufficient eternal life in your spirit, man, in your soul and your body, you will not grow appreciably as you ought to. That's why you can see a Christian who's been born for many years and is not growing spiritually. And you see another Christian that understands this concept of eternal life, and he draws life regularly, he prays using life, he does everything with life. You see, you begin to understand why it is important for us not to operate under what we call a life deficit. Anytime you operate under a life deficit, the flesh will take control. No matter how much your good intentions, praise the Lord. Very important for us to know. So let's go back to what he said. He said, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. In the hope of eternal life. Now, the question is, he was talking to born-again Christians. He was writing to Titus. And he now says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. What does he mean by that? Knowing that the people are writing to, they were already born again. Or else, why would you say, you go and ordain elders? This is what it means as we continue. First of all, what is this promise that God promised us? You see, when you look in the Old Testament, I'm trusting God to help you to break it down. You see, when you look at the Old Testament, when God promised Abraham, you see, he told him, when you read it, you know, he says that, okay, I'll give you a child. But see, the child did not come into existence until after the Bible says that Abraham's body was dead. And also Sarah's womb was totally dead. So what did God do? That promise was not just having a child, but it was a child of promise, which only God could bring to pass by giving life to the physical body of Adam and the womb of Sarah. A type of which you see when it talks about Aaron's rod that budded. Are you all with me? Praise the Lord. So what is that promise? 1 John chapter 2 verse 25. Says that, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even what? Eternal life. So what is the hope of this eternal life? That is, apart from getting born again and having eternal life in your spirit, there is a hope. There is a hope of eternal life. It's not just to get born again, die, and go to heaven. There is an hope. There is a hope of eternal life. What is that hope of eternal life? I put it in summary. I said the hope of eternal life is the total salvation. I said the total salvation of the spirit, soul, and body by the life of God. That is, you see, that life of God you receive when you got born again is just the beginning. There is a hope that God has that life will grow or flow into your spirit, into your soul, and to your physical body, which is the same thing as being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put the scripture behind you. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. This is how Paul put it. Let's read together. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, so we got born again. Much more, say much more, being reconciled, we shall be what? Saved by his life. That is, the life of God in your spirit is supposed to move into your soul, into your physical body, till you are saved. How are you ready along? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. It says that receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. That is our purpose. That is our death. That is what Paul was trying to say when he defined the scope of his apostolic ministry. That is, Paul was not wondering about, and he passed the same to Titus, that this is the scope of the ministry God has called me to, and was telling that you ordain elders further than you will see. He said that they must, in Timothy, he said they must hold this truth with a pure conscience. Praise the Lord. Let's also see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Sorry. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. Say, holy. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of Christianity. This is the hope of eternal life. Paul said, in which God that cannot lie promised. This is what God has promised us. This is the end of our faith. This is what every Christian should seek to attain unto in this lifetime. And I'll give a parable to explain this. Lord Jesus, use parables to explain this simple, but in a very simple way for everybody to understand. The parable of 11, Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he said, another parable, are we there? Another parable spake he unto them, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto what? Leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Say till you, the whole was leavened. He said that until we come into the measure of his stature or the fullness of Christ. You see, leaven here, the life of God here is used as leaven. The Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So that leaven here that we're talking about is not the same nature. It can also be used in types and shadows as nature. It's the life of God. So God, using this parable, he says that a woman hidden 3 measures of meal. What is that speaking of? Say the spirit, the soul, and the body. Majority in body of Christ have not allowed that leaven to leaven the soul and the physical body. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing as when Pastor shared with us, the transformation of our physical body. You see, God is not going to be satisfied until he sees a couple of people. Because you see, what he paid for, like I shared some time ago, what he paid for is not for us to get born again, die, and go to heaven. Then he would have allowed us to die immediately if God born again. Why? Because he knows that we can easily backslide. Christians backslide, some even die and go to hell. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. Why did he allow us, or is allowing us, giving us mercy and grace and all these other things that we enjoy, is so that we can use the blood, the word, and the spirit to attain unto what we call the perfection and the fullness. That is, until the whole, our spirits, our souls, and our bodies are totally leavened. Are you all with me? That is the purpose of Christianity. That is why God got us born again. Are you with me? Just like the Bible talks about, it says that the first Adam was earthly. It says the last Adam is the Lord from heaven. It says, as so as as you are born the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Thank you. That is what God is doing, is this. He's waiting for sons that will come with the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Have I paused? What does this mean? It's the same as the transformation of our physical body. That is, the Bible, there are many parables, just as I used to explain it. It talks about the parable of 5 foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Some put hard oil in their lamps and did not have oil in their vessels. The vessels are speaking about the physical body. So, and this life has to move, I keep saying it, into our souls. Has to move into our physical bodies. Are you following me? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Paul was talking. He says, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that what the life also of Jesus might be what? Made manifest in our physical body. That is our goal. That is our goal as Christians. Verse 11 says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is, you come to that place that the life of God is made manifest in mortal flesh. Let me give an example. Lord Jesus Christ, when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, instantly the life, you see, if he had the life only in his spirit, nothing would have flowed out. But the life had so much flow, filled his soul and his physical body, and entered into his what garments. Are you following me? And you see, this is slated for the end time church. I mean, it is what we are supposed to attain unto. You see, in the Old Testament, nobody could receive eternal life because they were not born again until Christ came. Now that we have eternal life, we are supposed to have that life in abundant measure. That's what you see. Paul tested a bit of his thing. You know, when he was preaching one day and he preached overnight, and one guy fell from the third loft, Eutychus by name, and they brought him, and the poor said that he was dead. Paul said, "Don't worry." He went down to meet the guy. He did what Elijah did as a type. He laid on the guy, and then what did he do? He just transferred the life in his physical body into that boy, and the boy started living. Are you following me? These are the things that God has ordained for the end time church to fulfill. Praise the Lord. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 23 to 25. Talking about the manifestation of God. So when you hear the manifestation of the of God, you know, different typologies, you know, the man-child company, this, that. This is the summary. The summary is for the life of God to move into your soul, to enter into your physical body in more than enough measure. Are you following me? So it says that Romans chapter 8, verses 23 to 25 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. Now say, listen, say, for we are saved by hope, the hope of eternal life. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we what? Patience, wait for it. It's important for us to understand. Even though we cannot say we have seen somebody that has experienced this. That's why Paul said, he said, in the hope of eternal life, in which God that cannot lie has promised. It was the same thing when he promised Abraham. It looked absolutely impossible for a man that's 99 years old and his wife 90 to give birth to Isaac. But you know what God did? God gave life to the physical body of Abraham. He gave life to the physical body, the womb of Sarah. And they gave birth. That is what makes it a child of promise. Because they too, in that sense, they receive life eternal. Now God is calling the end time church to give birth to the child of promise, which is a type of Isaac. As your Christ to be formed in you, who has to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, not physically now, in our flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, he said, my little children, of whom I travel in birth again, until Christ or the life of God be made manifest in your mortal flesh. That is what God is looking for. Bible says the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. In summary, let me read Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. Talking about waiting for this hope. Say, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You see, by faith, it's only by faith that we can apprehend this purpose that God has set before the end time church. Now, I put what Pastor taught some years ago. I read it out just to explain. Say, the ultimate promise and blessing that God has given us in this lifetime is that of eternal life being made manifest in our physical bodies, causing us to have and to experience the temporal resurrection of our mortal bodies in this lifetime. And so that we can have the fullness of the ability of the mind of Christ and manifest the fullness of the glory of God. That is your mental capacity now increases. Now you now have the kind of mental capacity like Adam had in the garden of that God brought animals to him and he named them and did not think twice. If you were to ask Adam, what did you call the elephant yesterday? He will mention not just the elephant. He will mention the type. If you don't taxonomy, he will mention the exact type. Are you all with me? That kind of mind of Christ. Or could you see a type in the life of Solomon? I got Bible said God gave Solomon wisdom. As a mental sagacity. There was nothing that in that sense that Solomon, if you ask him a question, that could not answer. That's the kind of mind that God wants to restore back to the body of Christ. That is the mind that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. And also the fullness of Christ that Pastor has taught us, you know, photographic memory and all these things, and all the miracles that we see in the Old Testament, including the ones in the Bible, Jesus Christ walked on water and all these things. This is what we call the manifestation of the sons of God. And the Bible says that the heavens must retain the Lord Jesus Christ until what? Until a restoration of all things. Everything has to be. He's not coming back tomorrow. He's not going to come back until he sees the travail of his soul and be satisfied. You see, let us say when he died, when Jesus Christ, Bible said, let me just explain this further. You see, Bible says Jesus Christ, he said something in the book of John. He was talking to them. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. He said, abide it alone. He said, but when he dies, he bringeth forth much food. Now, the issue is this. The seed will always reproduce after his kind.
So if Christ had died at the age of 12, then the maximum growth you can expect in the body of Christ is Christians that are 12 years old spiritually. But God waited. You see, God waited. He did not allow him to die at 12. He sowed Jesus Christ as a seed in return for the harvest of the end time church. Are you following me? That is, that's why the Bible says that in the book of James, it says that the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. That is, God is patient. God is not in a hurry. He knows what he paid for, so he knows what he's expecting. Are you all with me? You see, like somebody said, if Jesus Christ had come into the world and done all kinds of miracles and did not die for mankind, all those things he did would have been useless. Because his purpose was to be sown as a seed for mankind. So that that is why we have hope that this thing is possible. Because God is expecting a harvest of matured sons. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read Philippians chapter 3 verses 10 to 11. This was what Paul saw in Amplified Bible. You see, many of them didn't see it. Because if you read the book of Acts of Apostles, they will talk in the sense because it was a baby church. But see, when God separated Paul and he began to teach him that this is purpose, this is destiny. It's not just get born again and then sit down in Jerusalem. Amplified Bible. Yes. It says, Paul was talking. He said, for my determined purpose is that I might know him. Say, I might know him. And that I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving, say perceiving. And recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person. More strongly and more clearly. And that I might in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. And that I might also share his sufferings, as to become continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope, saying the hope, that is hope we are talking about, that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that leads me out among the dead, even while in this body. You see, this is what God is expecting. There is no point getting born again and sitting like the early apostles in Jerusalem, which speaks of Pentecost. They just sat down there. Only God began to kick them out. Began to kick them out. But this is not the end. This is not the purpose. I will begin to round up. You see, this is also our purpose in Christianity. That is why we do the things that we do. But God began to pray. He himself initially did not understand it. But after some time, God began to shed light. And he began to pray in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, when I saw your love, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15, he said, your love, your faith toward God and your love for the brethren. He said, and I cease not to pray for you, that the Lord of glory will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light, that you may know better what is the hope of your calling upon his life, the riches of the glory of his inheritance you assisted, and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power, which he wrought in Christ when he risen from the dead. As he began to pray for the Ephesian church, and this is a prayer I've been encouraged to pray. See, what I'm trying to share today, you may not understand it, but this is what Christ came and died for. And for you to see it, you need to pray the Ephesian prayers daily, that God should give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, so the eyes of your understanding will be flooded with light. So you no longer see Christianity as like most people see it. Okay, I'm born again, like pastor will say, and kakon are blessed. No, it's like going to university and saying that you are content to live with a past degree. No, God has so much in store. You see, because if we don't get into the fullness of Christ, we cannot close this age. Satan understands it. And is allowing different kinds of things to come to the body of Christ to distract us. Not like he did in the wilderness. They kept on roaming about the wilderness like the children of Israel. 2.5 tribes settled for staying in the wilderness. They came and told Moses, well, Moses is
so using this Bible talk about the church in Greenland. He said, since we have cattle, we have this, we have that. Folks, if that is the end of a faith, you are a miserable person. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we have all men most miserable. Because they are unbelievers that have far more than these things. But you see, the game changer in this end time is those that attain on the fullness of Christ. That is, they grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. I'll close with these scriptures to encourage us. Because many are saying, where is the promise of his coming? It's the same thing we're talking about. I said, don't be slack. God is not slack concerning his promise. Like he told Abraham, Abraham had to wait for 25 years. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. He says that he be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. Say that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. But when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely a blessing I will bless thee. Multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had what? Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily this well by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto all the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, by that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters within the veil, without a foreigner force is entered. Even Jesus Christ, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Let's stand to our feet. This is the hope that is set before us. It's the anchor of our soul in this end time. It's an anchor is what holds you so you don't drift away. Many are drifting away today in the body of Christ because they don't have this hope. Because you see, if your hope is to get blessed financially, once you realize it, then what else is there to do? But you see, if this is your hope, Bible says, then do it with patience, wait for it. That is consistency. And this is the hope of all hopes. This is the game-changing hope which God himself is waiting for. Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, this is the blessing. You see, when God swore to Abraham, he did not swear to him when he gave birth to Isaac. But he swore when he offered up Isaac, his matured son. Praise the Lord. Very important for us to know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to the Lord in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful minds in pure. Realize thy service fine in deeper reverence praised. In deeper reverence praised. Let's pour our hands to our heart and raise the other hand to heaven. Let's pray. The Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure, I pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the hope of eternal life, which is Christ formed in me and glorified in me. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure. to enable me to see more clearly this hope of a calling upon my life and to apprehend this purpose for which you have apprehended me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's now pray for our healing. God wants us healed. He wants us. You need a healthy body to carry the glory of God, like we've been taught. I quote the scripture of Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11, in line with what we're talking about. Bible says that, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of the sin nature. That is, the body is sick because of the sin nature. Or it says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ will also quicken or give life to your mortal body. That is the process of our healing. So if you need healing, please raise up your hand as much. Can touch the place you are watching online, can stretch out your hand to your device as you pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. I come to pray under the covering of my said spiritual fathers. The word says, whoever sins we remit, they are remitted unto them. Father, we remit our sins through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask for life in sufficient measure to bring about a healing and a cure of every hand that is raised up today in the name of Jesus Christ. Bible says, you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them for their destructions. Father, we ask, Lord, that you cause these ones to experience healing in their physical bodies. We rebuke the devourer. We cast out every foul of infirmity, of sickness and disease in them. And say, be thou made whole from the top of your head down to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.